Father God, Lord, we are just so grateful, Father, for this evening. Lord, we're just grateful, Lord God, for time to come together, Father, in your name. We're grateful, Lord God, for Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith, Father. We're grateful, Lord, that in any place, any situation, Lord, when we seek your face and when we look to you, Father, that you work with your people, Lord, that you reach out to us, Father, that you are close to those, Lord God, that come to you, Father, with a broken and contrite spirit, Lord, and those that seek you, Father, in honesty, Lord, and in truth, Father. Lord, you are looking for those that worship you, Lord, in spirit and in truth. And so, Father, we ask that by your Spirit you would transform us into those, Lord God, that you desire to receive unto yourself. Lord, this evening, Father, we just right now, in Jesus' name, do leave every care at your feet, Father. Lord, we hold on to nothing in our hearts, Father, but we ask and pray, Lord, for your plan, your purpose, Lord, your vision. Father, we just bind every demonic force, every hindering spirit, Lord, every assignment of the devil. And Lord, in Jesus' name, we cast it out. And Father, we ask and pray, Lord, for the free flow of your Spirit through each and every one of us, Lord, during this time. Lord, I just acknowledge openly, Father, there's nothing in me except your Spirit, Lord, that's good. And to your Spirit, Lord, I seek to yield. And Father, and I do yield right now. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that in everything that's spoken in this time, Lord, that your will be done, Father. Lord, that your word would come forward. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you just bless each and every one of us, Lord, that walks with you, Father. Strengthen us this day, Lord, in this journey of life as we walk with you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Okay, cool. So tonight we are going to wrap up this, hopefully we'll wrap it up today, and then take a little couple week break from the series. But tonight we're going to wrap up this one. Now the series that we've been in has been entitled, do you remember? How Now Do We Live? Okay. The reason that we called it that, and because we are in the world, yet we're not of the world. Actually, here, flip to John 17. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Got it. Okay. John 17. And when Jesus is praying, verse 14, he said, I have given them thy word, and the world hath hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I pray not that thou shouldest take them out of the world, but that thou shouldest keep them from the evil. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Even as thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. Okay, and for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word, that they may all be one, even as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. Okay, so Jesus even there saying, look, I'm not just praying for my disciples, I'm praying for, consequently, us, this day, this moment in time. Jesus, eternal Christ Jesus, our Lord, our God, praying for us at this time, this word being there, alive and true, living this very day, praying for us, prays and says that a few things. One, that we wouldn't be taken out of the world, but that we should be kept, that we should be kept from the evil. They're praying that we should all be one in the Father, even as He's in the Father. This is His prayer. This is the work and the ministry of the Spirit of God working in us. But so we're here now in the world, but we're not of the world. And it's important for the follower of Christ to have that understanding, to have that realization that you and I are strangers in this world, that we're pilgrims in this world, that we're in a wilderness experience for a duration of time while we're here, but this world is not our home. Now, if you realize this world is not your home, you relate to it very differently than if something is your home. You know, for example, if you go to a hotel, you relate to that place a little bit differently because you're not staying there forever. You're just passing through that place. You actually have a home somewhere else, but you're transiting through that place for a season of time. So likewise, for us, we are transiting through this life and through this world. Now this world has a purpose, has a function, has a reason that exists even in the state that it's in. Now there's a reason that God has allowed for this world to be what it is. I mean, one of the reasons is in that, in this world system to even exist there, is for man to come to a healthy understanding of, wow, I cannot do it on my own. I need a savior. I mean, that's one thing that the world does for anyone that has a heart for truth, is realizing, wow, man left to his own devices totally screws himself up. Man left to his own devices, me left to myself, would completely kill myself exponentially fast given full reign and full opportunity. Man left to his own devices apart from God has a way of quickly exterminating himself and everybody else around him, and without a solution for his problem. So every time man thinks he finds a solution, he inevitably creates another problem for himself. And you look at right now the problems going on in the world with energy, you look at the problems going on in the world with food, you look at the problems going on in the world with all the greed, all the pollution, all these different things that are man-made, man-created, and so much of it is based on the greed and the system of the world that's even in place. Well, of course, you know, man outside of and apart from the right heart, the right motivation, the Spirit of God moving through you, well, if you don't have that connection, then what you have is death. There's a way that seems right unto a man, the end thereof is the ways of death. Again, Proverbs 14, Proverbs 16, we've touched on this a lot. That so man, by his best ideas, best concepts, will only create systems that kill and destroy others, and consequently himself in the long run. So for us being transitory here, for us coming through this thing, part of the wake-up process that we go through is, oh my goodness, thank you so much, Lord, for saving me from this. Thank you so much, Lord, for making a way out of this thing through Christ Jesus. And if I didn't have him, I would be stuck in this illusion for the rest of my life. Thank you for making a way for every talent, every skill. So part of the realization and the appreciation that we have is, thank you so much, Father, for part three, how not to live. Okay. Thank you for making a way out of this thing. So the world exists in part for man to have a realization that he can't do it by himself, and that man left to his own devices will fail. Now, man, in his pride, in his arrogance, where he continues to say, oh yeah, we can fix it ourselves, oh yeah, we can bail ourselves out, oh yeah, if we just get the right man in office, if we just get the right person there, if we just get the right administration, if we just get the right whatever. And the answer is, no, you won't. Man can't fix his own problems. And what he ends up doing is just builds a house higher and higher on a shaky foundation. And we've touched on these ones again too. When the fire comes, when the wind blows, when the rain beats on that house, it falls because it's not built on the rock. So now we, in John 17 verse 14, which we touched on, we Christ Jesus, you followers of Christ Jesus, you, those whose eyes have been opened by the Spirit of God, you and I now, like the early church, like the disciples, like those that have come before us, that are now part of the great cloud of witnesses, And, you know, if the Lord tarries for, and we happen to pass on before He comes back, then we too will become part of that great cloud of witnesses. But right now, this is your time to run the race that the Father has for you in the world. Okay, so when He prayed, He's praying that, not that we would be taken out of the world, but that we would be kept from the evil, that we would be in the world, but not of the world. So when you and I realize, okay, one, we're passing through this life, we're not here for an extended period of time, and we may live another day, we may live another 80 years, you know, something in between, whatever. Whatever the case may be, it's not the quantity of your life, it's the quality. And the quality of your life in respect to the degree to which you are aligned with the Spirit of God and walking out in obedience His plan and purpose and the revealed will of God for you. That's really, you know, there's really the main thing about our lives in this world is, one, is to make a decision. You know, you're going to serve God or you're going to serve the world system and the prince of the power of this world. Either are you going to bow your knee to the King of Kings and the kingdom of God, or are you going to wilt and go the way of the world in exchange for provision and protection in that system? Are you really willing to trust God in the midst of everything else that surrounds you and all the opposition that's there? Or are you going to, or are you going to go the way of the masses? Now, if you go the way of God, you have Him. He promised, "I'll never leave you nor forsake you." And there may be times where that seems like that's all that you have. But you know that's enough. And anybody that's walked with Him long enough to be through some things have realized, wow, that is enough. As long as He's with me, there's nowhere that I can't go. There's nothing that He can't ask me to do because He'll empower me to do it. This is great. This is fantastic. And then you start finding out, okay, Jesus in John 10 said, "I came that they might have life and have it more abundantly." Then you start finding out that journey that He pulls you into is actually the journey of abundant life. That's actually now the time of the adventure. That's now actually the time where life becomes an amazing journey, because now you're seeing the God of this universe active in the life that you're in, and because you're in the flow, because you're walking with Him, because you're getting your direction from Him, now everything that you're doing, everything that you're about, you continually and consistently see God's hand in it. You see God working with you. You see God moving you through. You see God stretching you a little bit more. You see God, okay, now you've learned certain lessons. Okay, now let's take it up a notch. Now let's put you in a hotter situation. Let's put you in another place now where, okay, now you are outnumbered 10,000 to 1. Do you still trust God, you know, in that situation? Well, you learned before with the lion and the bear. Now Goliath is there. Do you still trust God now that the bear speaks and he's wearing armor? You know what I mean? Do you still trust God in these situations? And then it keeps going up. It keeps going up a notch. And then, but in each one of these things, you start learning, wow, you know what? Until you come to this point, it can be 1,000 Goliaths in front of me. You know, and all of them, you know, and nobody behind me. But if God is with me and God puts me in that situation, no matter what, I'm good. I'm all right. I'm okay. And then you start to see, and then you start to trust Him. And then now it's like, okay, now when those things are cemented, when they're solid in you, now it's like, okay, then the Father says, "All right, good, you got that down. Now, let's move to something whole, totally different." And see, this is why, too, you have to be true to what the Father shows you. Because what's one thing that happens is each of us is made differently. And you're born with certain gifts, certain talents, certain abilities where, somebody is musically inclined, somebody is structurally inclined, somebody is a fantastic painter, somebody is, you know, just whatever said and done, you know, they have a way of empathizing with someone. You know, it's just you have different gifts, you have different things. Recently my dad was talking to me and he said, "You know, Govinda, there's certain qualities," and he's talking about me and my little brother. He says, "Things that you know, you guys have that you don't realize, you know, how valuable they are, because you take them for granted, but they're really, you know, because you've just gotten so used to them. And I think it happens with us. It's just there's certain things about you that are, you know, it's like, you know, what's the big deal? But the truth is, it's part of how God has made you. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. And to realize, you know, and to bring those things out and to allow those to be empowered and quickened by the Spirit of God. And also, whatever God puts you in, He's going to put you in stuff that where those talents, those abilities, those skills can really be drawn upon to make the impact that God wants you to make. But if you go by the way of the world will take, again, we touched on this last week, that if you got a talent, it says, okay, how can I use the talent that I see in this person to continue to build a world system? So how can I take that talent in you and now take it and stick it as a cog in the wheel to continue to build this soul scalping machine, which is the system of the world, powered by those that have come before, to harvest and harness that soul of, not your soul, but also the souls of those that would come after you. So, you know, what you're seeing now is a collapse of the economic system of the world. So the thing is sputtering. It's there's a monkey wrench now in the whole cogs, and everything's like kung 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 kung, and they're like, oh, Bela, Bela, throw some cash at this, that, but it's not going to work because the whole thing was smoke and mirrors anyways before. So as stuff starts to collapse, as stuff starts to fall apart, now people that were in it that fell for the illusion of, you know, of security and safety and just, you know, I'll be a good slave if you just, you know, leave me be. All of a sudden it's not working. There is no retirement. There is no job security. There is no, and now they're starting to say, well, you know, what's out there? And now here you are as an ambassador of Christ. Here you are understanding, hey, I know Matthew 6. I know God said, seek first the kingdom and His righteousness and He'll take care of my needs. I know that if you bow your knee, that he to the King of Kings, that He meets you, that God does forgive, that God's willing to receive anybody that comes to Him in honesty and in truth and asks for that salvation, that did He, because His blood is sufficient for this, to pay for the sins of the whole world. So it's like, so okay, cool. So now you're that ambassador. You're the one that shines that light. You're the one that now people are coming to and asking, what do I do? How do I do this? How do I how do I live? Because what happens now is they're melting down, and as you are just kind of seemingly floating through this world, you know, carefree. Not bogged down in their stuff, not having sleepless nights, not worried about your pensions, because you're not. God's brought you through all that. He's taught you some lessons about His provision, for one. He taught me that one. He burned that one into my soul, you know, early on, because I needed to learn that one. That was one that, like, I really needed to learn, to really need to learn to trust Him on this one. And once I got that one down, then I was like, okay, you know, whether you have or you don't have, in the natural, whatever the case may be, I learned something there. And a valuable lesson is that God takes care of His own. God takes care of His people. You seek Him first, the need will be there when it's needed. He just always is. He always does that. He'll find somehow, some way to make sure that you're taken care of. And He will do that. So like after a while you just realize, oh, hey, cool. So now, if the provision is taken care of, cool, can He promise that because He knew you'd need that? Then it's like, alright Lord, the provision's taken care of, so I have eternal security in You, I have my daily bread taken care of by You, You show me what to do in that respect, so then what would You have me do? And then He shows you, hey, you know, I made you a certain way, you have a passion for this, you have a desire towards this, you've got skills and abilities towards this, let's go with it, let's develop this, let me show you. And then He puts you in some places, He gives you the opportunities, and then the whole time your life is very full, your life is very rich, you're meeting people, you're enjoying, and the whole time the Spirit of God is pouring through you. Now you see the world for what it is, you understand the world for what it is, you're not under any delusion about what the world is or what the world system's about, and you have no problem when somebody comes to you from that system being very point blank about it. Look, your whole thing is a toilet. You know, it really is. And there's a way that, you know, the whole thing's being flushed right now. If you want to get out of the bowl before, you know, you can get out if you want. You know, there is a way out. But, so we, God has us in the world right now because, you know, you are that light in the world. You are that ambassadors in the world because the Spirit of God in Christ Jesus came into this world, and now that fire of God lit the candle in your soul, and you go around with that same light burning bright in you. That same fire from the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2 is burning in the hearts of anyone that's received that baptism and that empowering of the Spirit of God when you've come into contact with Him. So when you've waited on Him, He fills you with that power. So now, we talked about this last week. So how do we live? How do we be in the world but not of the world? How do we exist here and go on in this journey of life according to and in step with what the Spirit of God is doing? Okay, well, one thing that we touched on, you know, and the verses from last week, John 17:3, was, you know, you live in connection. So we need to, and this is something where, you know, for yourself, you realize, for me, one thing I realized, the most important thing for me is to be in right standing relationship with God and to live with that connection with Him. You know, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, just after the book of Proverbs. I had a pastor in the States, he one time told me, he says, "Govind, do you know the difference between Proverbs and Ecclesiastes?" He said, 700 wives and 300 concubines. Solomon, this is a, yeah. Right, never mind. This is pastors and biblical humor. Okay, so leave that one alone for now. Okay, Solomon, Ecclesiastes basically is, the book of Ecclesiastes is a beautiful book, but basically what he does is, here's a guy that's got all the resources of, you know, that at his disposal to try and do anything. So what he does is he maxes out every single possible thing for what it is, and when he gets done with it, using wisdom, he gives an analysis for himself of, this is the conclusion of what this has to offer. And so many of these things, he's just like, look, it's just vanity. There's nothing there. There's no substance there. So he goes through all of these things. So he does building projects, and he has all these women, and he laughs his head off, and he tries all of these wine and all the different things. But each time he comes to the conclusion of it, he's just like, there's nothing there. There's no there there. You know, there's nothing there at the end of all of this stuff. And then he takes the reader through in these 12 chapters. It's a great book to read in one setting. Sit down and read all 12 chapters at once. Because then when you get to the end of all of this, you get in verse 13, 14 of chapter 12, he says, "Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." So Solomon, giving that wisdom as the wisest man that ever lived, and then the Son of God coming into the world, Jesus Christ coming into the world, saying, okay, what's the greatest commandment? Well, the greatest commandment is, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the greatest commandment. The second one is like it. And so you've got these two that, from the wisest people that ever were here, Solomon the wisest man, Jesus the Son of God, trumping Solomon, and then both of them reinforcing this same point, where it's like, look, put it all towards the Father. Let your heart, let your entire being be aligned with God. Let that be your focus. And so this is the path of life. Jesus, I came that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. That abundant life comes on His terms. That abundant life comes when you love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. When He's your everything, and then out of that love, it overflows into love your neighbor as yourself. So that overflow, that abundant overflow, because there's a river of living water flowing through you, that overflow of the life of God in you flows out into the lives of other people, where now you're able to love your neighbor as yourself. You're able to, that love of God pours into a world and into the lives of people that need it. Now, the conclusion of the matter, so for us as children of God, for us as followers of Christ, that connection is, I mean, that's like premium. That's like, you know what? And that's why too, for me, the thing about like sin or whatever, it's, you know, sin is whatever it is, that's not the thing that I get. My issue there is, hey, Isaiah 59 verse 2, sin has a way of hindering and hampering my relationship and my connection with the Father. That's the issue that I got there. You know, my issue there is I want a clean connection with Him. I want to be able to hear when He speaks, when He whispers, when He, that still small voice of the Spirit of God, says something. I want to know that I know that I know that this is God speaking to me, so that I can then walk out that next direction and that next step of life in this world. Because, first of all, I've seen that the sweetness of His presence and the voice of the Spirit of God is so beautiful. It's like, why would I want anything else? What in this world could be compared to that voice, that connection, that love, that intimacy with the Spirit of God? There's nothing there. So for me, I say, okay, nothing else compares to the love of God. Nothing else. And He'll instruct me, and He'll teach me what sin, whatever you call it, what is there that's worth sacrificing that for? And really, for me, this is my own place. It's like there's nothing there. So, if the Spirit of God convicts me on something, if the Spirit of God shows me something, then what I can do, because also God gives you an empowering by the Spirit of God to put to death everything in your life that keeps you from being the witness that God wants you to be. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you get that power of the Spirit to be a witness, to the word martus, to put to death everything, martyr, to put to death everything in your life that's not of God. So He gives you that empowering. So then what happens is, now here's something in my life, I don't want that there because the Spirit of God is hurting my relationship with God. Well, now I then take that back to the Father. I'm like, Lord, I want this connection with You. This is the most important thing. The most important thing for me is to walk with You, to obey You, to love You, to be everything that You desire me to be, and just to know You. I want to know You. I want to know You the way You know me. Help me, Father. Help me. And I just, you know, keep me from willful sin. Help me to lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Help me to go this run. You do it through me. I can't do it. I can't do it, but You can do it through me. I know You can. So I open myself up to the free flow of the Spirit of God through me. And then what you notice, and what I've noticed, is that it's just, all of a sudden, stuff just melts off of you. Certain things are just not there anymore. Certain appetites, certain, you know, it's like, I just don't want that. I don't need that. And rather now, what's replaced is God replaces it with, you know, because you're a vessel as well. So something will fill you. You know, this whole thing in Buddhism about, look, you know, empty yourself and, you know, no, something will fill you. You know, you'll be filled with air, but something's going to fill you. I mean, there will be something inside of you. So rather than being emptied of all this stuff, no, rather be filled and overflowing with the Spirit of God, and let the Spirit of God, as He's flowing through you like a rushing river, clean out and push out everything that's not like Him, until you become that clean vessel that God desires you to be. You know, so it's not this whole thing of let me empty myself. No, Lord, fill me. Fill me to overflowing. And have you ever seen it? Like sometimes you have like a glass and you know there might be like a little bit of juice in the bottom or whatever. You just turn on the tap and you just put it in there. And that water, you just let that water flow into the glass. It pushes everything up and then pretty soon it's like a bit diluted or whatever. But you just let that water keep filling that glass and eventually everything that was in there before is washed out. And now it's just fresh, clean water filling and flowing and overflowing that thing. Like that. Just come into the free flow of the Spirit of God. Let Him flow into you and overflow you and just keep walking that line. And don't allow anything else. Nothing in this world is worth it. No relationship, no paycheck, no... nothing in this world is worth your connection with the Father. And that's why, too, when it comes to stuff like relationships, okay, well, Amos 3:3, how can two walk together, at least they be agreed? You know, see, down within that's why you two have something that's really, really cool, because both of you walk together, but you also primarily walk in agreement with the Spirit of God. And because you both walk, number one, first and foremost, with an agreement with the Spirit of God, that brings you both into a beautiful agreement one with each other. And that is a fantastic way to live life out with somebody in this world. Now, a lot of people fail to have that. A lot of people don't understand that. You both understand that. And maybe on some levels you might take it for granted even that, you know, you have that. But it's there. It's an incredible gift. It's an incredible blessing. Now, in that connection gets tested. That connection gets, you have offers along the lines of, you know, how much do you want to keep going on this line? And the devil will, because see, likewise, everything that God does, the devil does a counterfeit. You have an antichrist. I mean, everything, you have the original, the authentic, and then you have the cheap knockoff, bargain basement, Pakistani version. You know, it's like, and so you have this knockoff, and it's like, and they start improving the quality, and they try to get as close to the original as they possibly can, but they never can match the real thing. Now, they will come up with, so now God has a connection, bless you, God has a connection, and so does the world system. The world system has a connection as well. And it requires you give your soul and your allegiance to that, and in exchange for that connection to the world system, you then get X. And whatever that X is, whatever that payment is, you know, that's, they'll give you that. And now it's getting smaller and smaller because there's less and less for they got to go around these days. But at the end of it, it's a limited time offer. And, you know, there is no more guarantees even there because they don't have them anymore. They didn't have them in the first place, but they had enough people buying into the illusion that they were able to keep it going for a little while. The world system is just one big Ponzi scheme. You've seen the pyramids? You know, it's a big pyramid scheme. And so now the pyramid scheme, all these Ponzi schemes eventually collapse. The world system does the same. So... but for us, you know, you're not in a Ponzi scheme. You have direct access to the Father through the Lord Jesus Christ. You have one high priest forever in the order of Melchizedek who sprinkled his own blood on the mercy seat for us. And now we have through him, the veil of the temple has been rent in two, and you and I can boldly go to the throne of grace. Because of what Christ Jesus did. So now we have that option. So now live in that connection. Enjoy that connection. Walk in that connection. And go through life, one, enjoying it, and then also, hey, there's unlimited connections available. You know, this is not the cell phone wars in this country. There's unlimited connections available because the blood of Christ Jesus is sufficient. But people have to willfully allow themselves. You have to bow your knee before the king and the kingdom, the dominion of the king. You have to bow your knee before the King of Kings and ask for His pardon, His forgiveness, Him to take your sins. And you have to be willing to go that way. Lord, Your kingdom come, Your will be done. You got to be willing to get off the throne of your own life and let Him have control. But it's a beautiful thing. Once you do that, it's like, okay, now you don't have to carry it anymore. You know, it sucks to carry your own your own weight and the weight of all these other things that everybody else is walking around from. That's why Jesus said, come unto me, all you who are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. Because, you know, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Why? Because all these people get so wore out by what they're being asked to carry in the world and the world system, because that's just the way it is. Your sins will wear you out. Your allegiance to this, then they will work you like a dog to get every last drop and ounce of any talent and ability that you have. Whereas when the Spirit of God is in control in your life, one thing, when you do work, we work hard. We work really hard. But we are energized by what we do. We're enthralled in what we do. We enjoy what we do. It's not work as such. My grandfather had a statement for me one time. He said, Govinda, he said, find a job you love and you'll never work a day in your life. And it's really true. You know, if you love what you do, if you enjoy what you do, if you have passion for what you do, and the Spirit of God does that for you, because He brings out the real you, then it's like, okay, now this is the real you, and this is what the real you likes and that's good at. And you know what? You're a fantastic person to be around. You're a fun person to work with, because, you know, and you've got great ideas, and you're also walking in line with, here's what I'm really good at. And you know what? You can't be good at everything. So it's like, okay, there'll be some stuff that, hey, this is probably not my strength, so I'll probably not really want to do this. Thank you very much. You know, but I mean, sometimes though too, even in that stuff, maybe God will put you in something for a stint of time, just so that you, bridge a gap, learn something new, stretch yourself a little bit. Hey, cool, great, you know. But which bridges into my next one though, which I'm touching on all these ones from last week. Know your purpose. You know, you need to know your purpose, your reason for existence. Now, Acts 26:16 was the one that we talked to, but this is revealed out of your place of connection with the Father. God will show you, if you ask Him to, He will show you and reveal to you the reason that He has also for you here. And when He reveals that to you, when He shows that to you, commit yourself to fulfilling the purpose for which God redeemed you at this time while you're here in the world. Because if God saves you and He brings you and He opens up your eyes, and then you don't fulfill your purpose, so say you get offered $1 million job, you know, to head some multinational, or you get offered a job to be a pastor of a church, but God never called you to do that. Okay, you got off in your own purpose, and you missed the purposes of God that God had for you. Then when you're done here, well, you missed it. You know, you missed the reasons for which, you know, and all that He had for you in that, because again, you were working in your own natural thinking. So know your purpose, know the reason that God has for you, and when He reveals that to you, now keep that there in the forefront of your decision making as well. Because always when you're trying to make decisions, you're trying to make choices, look at those decisions in light of what God has showed you, in light of what God has spoken to you. And this is something between you and Him. You know, I can't do it for anybody else. You know, we can't do it for someone else that we care about, that we love. You have to make those decisions. You have to make those choices. You have to be true to what the Spirit of God has showed you. Now, when you have brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus that have been set free from the Spirit of God, that are not bound in some sort of religious bondage, they also too will realize, hey, this is the way that God's working with this person. Let me encourage and support them in that endeavor. So it's really nice when you have people like that around you. Okay. and some of the other ones that we talked about last week, live simply. You know, when you, if you can learn to live within your means, know the difference between your needs and your wants, learn to, and now if you can learn to live simply, that's a fantastic default point. You may have more, that's okay, there's nothing wrong with that. But learn to be content with what you have. Thank God for what you have. Whatever you have, be grateful that you have what He's put in your care. And you're a steward over it, so when you have something to share. So then when He's put something in your hand, learn to live and share and love. And it's a great, it's a fantastic way to live in life. Okay, live free. This is, you know, one we talked about a little bit last week too. Check your heart. Deception creeps in. Learn to live in freedom. And the learn to live in the freedom that God has given to you. And see, when you are in freedom, Galatians, a book, good book to read if you're on this point. As soon as you come into a place of freedom, the world system will then try to come in and to take that freedom away from you and to steer you back into some other form of bondage. So you have to be mindful that that's the way the world wants to work with you. So don't let it. You know, don't, once you've been set free by Christ Jesus, don't be entangled again in the yoke of bondage. So for me, you know, I had, this was again something for me that I had a part of my own journey and my own progression was because I was way deep in religious bondage. You know, and in my own love for God, what I thought, I was, you know, my commitment to, you know, what I believed was, you know, kind of like Paul. You know, Paul was always godly, he just wasn't always righteous. You know, Paul was committed, you know, to what he thought was God. And God met him along the way. I mean, likewise for me, it's like, you know, I was committed to what I thought was God until God had to show me something different. And when he revealed it to me, I'm just like, oh, wow. But now when you're set free from that, they will all come back around and say, no, 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 come back, quick, quick, come back, come back, come back. I'm like, call their bluff. See, one prayer, you know, my dad talked to me about one time, I've adopted it, but just, it's just an honest prayer to pray before God. Say, Lord God, if I'm missing it, you know, please show me. You know, if I'm off, if I'm off in the way that I am walking with you, the way that I'm relating to you, in anything, please show me and quicken me by your Spirit to make change along the lines that you want me to make so that I can just continue to walk with you. If I'm off at anything at all, please show me, because the most important thing to me is to walk with you, to serve you. Like Ecclesiastes again, you know, this is the whole duty of man, fear God and keep His commandments. This is the big thing. And then with Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength. So it's like, this is, and you know, if God puts that instruction to you, He will also empower you to do it. So it's great to pray prayers like that, because you're asking for that. You're asking the Lord to quicken you to stay on that line. Okay. And then last time too, how now do we live? We talked about you be blessed to be a blessing. You know, and we discussed some about how even with Abraham, you know, where God blessed Abraham to make him a blessing. And we too, as children of God, we are blessed by the Spirit of God, because God desires to dwell and inhabit His people. In the Old Covenant times, He wanted to dwell among His people. So the tabernacle was there so that God could dwell among His people. But in the New Covenant now, the way is made with Christ Jesus, where He can dwell in you. You now are the temple of God. You are walking around. And He wanted to be ever closer, ever more intimate with us, with His followers, with those that know Him, with you and I who are the children of God. So, but He now blesses you to make you a blessing, to make you also a blessing to others. So when He does that, you know, realize that that's part of it. It's like, so don't block the free flow of God, but then also don't waste it. See, here's something else too. Like, if God puts something in your hand, God puts something in your care, you ask God, because you're a steward. of whatever that is, whether it's your time, whether it's your energy, whether it's the resources, whether it's cash in your hand, whatever it is, you're a steward of that. So you ask God, Lord, you put this in my hand, in my care, where would you have me to go with this? What would you have me to do with this? Please show me, because anything you want, any way that you want me to go, I will go with it. So then he shows you. Because like, you know, this thing before, like, you know, there's that statement, you know, people have said, you know, like, oh, you can't outgive God. Well, it also says in scriptures, honor the Lord with the first fruit of your increase, you know, but you can dishonor God with the first fruit of your increase. You can put stuff, you know, in a place where it dishonors God. It's not Him. You can, if you put that which God puts in your care into the wrong thing, you squander the resource that God's put in your care, maybe even out of your own best intention. But again, there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof is the ways of death. So even there, it's like God put something in your hand, put something in your care, ask Him where to put that. So it's like, alright Lord, I've got this time, you know, where do you want me to spend it? You know, I've got something extra in the bank, you know, what would you have me to do with it? Like, for example, if you're a farmer, and recently this case came up, you know, because of some other projects that we're working with, and a friend brought in from Malaysia these really, really fancy high grade like vegetable seeds, and for these like some of these local Chinese restaurants. Now he gave them to another friend of mine to grow these. So to grow these for sale. Now they started growing these things, and now these were hand carried in, you know, on a plane. They started growing these things. First time they grew, first crop they got, they gave to the restaurant. Great, restaurant was really happy. Said, yeah, this is great. Sure, we'll take another time. Next time they went back, there was nothing left because these guys had gone and eaten all the vegetables. Now, you know, if you eat the seed, you know, now there's nothing left. And now you're back in the same state that you're in again. Yeah, you might have eaten a little bit more for the day, but now there's nothing left. So, you know, work with what God has and what He's put in your care, but do it with also the wisdom that God showed you to do. And so it's like, you know, this requires... Now if He says, give it all, great, give it all. If He says, utilize every last thing and it's a test of your faith, if He's instructing you to do that, okay, go for it. But if He's not, then what you've done is you've given away or you've used up that resource that He's put in your care, and now, you know, that's out. So you have to use that which He's put in your care according to how He shows you to do it. So I'm learning, one thing I've been learning too is learning really to give God's way. You know, and I'm enjoying it because now too, when you give God's way, then you also see the Spirit of God in your giving. You also see the Spirit of God active in the work that you're doing along those lines. So it's not something where it's you detached from Him just trying to say, okay, here's the Red Cross banner, you know, okay, I need to put something there because that's, you know, a good chair. No, not like that. No, if the Spirit of God doesn't move you and quicken you towards that, don't. You know, put it to where He shows you. You know, but if He does say, then okay, go for it. But do it wherever the Spirit of God shows you and quickens you. Whatever it is, be blessed to be a blessing. But put that blessing where the Spirit of God shows you and quickens you and instructs you to do. Because otherwise you operate out of your own best intentions. But sometimes too, you can try to do something and you end up doing a disservice to what God is doing even there. For example, you remember last Sunday they talked a little bit about the butterfly, you were there. But this I remember some other thing that I heard, like, you know, when the butterflies are in the cocoon and they're when they try to break out of the cocoon, it's a really, really laborious process. And this guy was watching it one time, and he's like, "Oh gosh, this poor thing's struggling in there. You know, let me help it. Let me help it." So he went and got his pair of scissors, and went and just kind of like when his butterfly's trying to get out of the cocoon, just gave it a little clip to open it up a little bit more so he could get out easier. And in the process of doing that, he ended up the wings.
It makes the circulation happen.
Exactly.
That is what makes it live.
Exactly. That struggle that the butterfly has to go through is part of the birthing process necessary for all of the fluids and everything to be pushed into the wings and to be energized. So that whole thing. So when this guy, of his own best intentions, he's like, "Oh, poor little butterfly. Here, let me help you. Here, let me cut this big click." He just killed the thing. And see, the same thing too with us, especially right now with what's going on with the world. You can go into situations like, "Oh, poor little butterfly, poor little family member, poor little this, poor little that." Stop and check with the Spirit of God first. Because if God is doing something to bring that person to a state of connection with Him, you and I know for a lot of us, you had to go to the pig pen of life before, you know, and kiss a few pigs before you woke up one day and just be like, "What am I doing? Where am I? What is, you know?" I mean, like that had to happen. No, it had to happen so that, you know, then you just came to this realization, "Oh my gosh, at least in my father's house, there are, you know, servants that have food to spare. What the heck am I doing here? I'm made for more than this. I was designed and made for more than this." So when we come to that realization, but that wake-up process was necessary. You know, it may not have happened any other way. But if you and I, in our own best intentions, get in the way of what God's doing with someone, you know, because this may be the way that they have. So we're happy to help. We are thrilled to help. We are thrilled to spend ourselves on behalf of the hurting and the needy and those that... But as the Spirit of God leads you, in this time, and it's very, very important that you and I go with that, because the Spirit of God needs to quicken you to get involved and to do what you do. Because if not, what happens is two things. One, you will get in the way of something that God's doing because you are trying to do something out of your own best interest, out of your own best intentions, but not Him. And the second thing too is all that you're spending time and energy and resource, everything there, you are now not in a place where God has for you to be, where He would have been intending for you to put that into something else. So it's a double whammy. So this is again why, going back to the first one, number one thing, live in connection. And see, this is why too, when willful sin is mixed in there, now it's muddied, you know, now it's cloudy. And so like you're in this place where, okay, I'm not really sure what God's saying and what to do. Oh, I really want to help this person because, you know, they're whatever, and so let me do this. No. Stay in that place of connection. Stay in that place of purpose. And then check with the Father. Because too, you know, the thing is like, if God has put something in you, He will create the option and the ability then for that to be utilized. I mean, for me right now, it's really a challenge because there's several things right now in front of me. And all of them are important. All of them have need and have necessity. And in some places, you know, people might feel like, "Oh, you know, He's really helping." And somewhere else, where it's just like, okay, got to check with the Father. Wait a second, I'm sorry, I just can't do that right now. That's not what He's saying to me. So it's like, and see, this is why too, if you're living free, you have that option. If you're living in a place where nobody's holding anything over on you, you are not, you don't owe any man anything except the debt of love. Scripture tells you, don't owe anyone anything except the debt of love. So come to a place, if you've got financial obligations, by all means, as the Spirit of God enables you, live simply so that every one of those things can be taken care of ASAP, so that you are not in a place where you owe anyone anything except the debt of love. And then out of the love of God that's in your heart, you help people as He instructs you and quickens you. But this way too, you're not under obligation, you're not being pulled into somebody else's thing. You know, you can help as the Spirit of God shows you. And you can, it's a beautiful thing to say no when God says no. Because there's life in that no. Okay. So, you know, we talked a little bit about the battle for your mind, the battle for your free will, and all these are ongoing as well. Okay. One more. Okay. A couple more things and then we'll just wrap up for tonight. Go to Genesis chapter 45 verse 1 and says, then Joseph could not refrain himself before them that stood by him, and he cried, cause every man to go out from me. And there stood no man with him while Joseph made himself known unto his brethren. And he wept aloud, and the Egyptians in the house of Pharaoh heard. And Joseph said unto his brethren, I am Joseph, doth my father yet live? And his brethren could not answer him, for they were troubled at his presence. And Joseph said unto his brethren, come near to me, I pray you. And they came near and said, and he said, I am Joseph, your brother, whom ye sold into Egypt. Now therefore be not grieved nor angry with yourselves, that ye sold me hither, for God did send me before you to preserve life. For these 2 years hath the famine been in the land, and yet there are 5 years in which there shall neither be earing nor harvest. And God sent me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So now it was not you that sent me hither, but God. And he hath made me a father to Pharaoh, and lord of all his house, and a ruler throughout all the land of Egypt. Okay. Alright. So now here, you have the great reversal. You have the brothers that were, you know, in their own way an indication of, you know, kind of what the system of the world does to us. You know, being sold out. You know, here's this guy, the dreamer, the one who's, you know, God's speaking to and showing all this stuff, and these guys hating him for who he was, and, you know, throwing him into the pit, and then selling him off into slavery, you know, and then all that happens to him is a consequence of that. And then now everything's turned around, and the same brothers that did that to him are the very same ones coming back to him to ask him for help, ask him for him to save their lives. Now at this stage, at this time, Joseph had well within his right, if he wanted to, he could have totally said, psh, I know who you guys are. Oh, you want some food now. I mean, seriously, he could have said, he could have done a lot of things. He could have said, all right, you know what? Hey, go home. No food for you. Or he could have taken them in and said, you know what? I want to kill you guys myself. I have been waiting all these years. You know how many years? 13 years in dungeons, and then now 2 years. So 15 years ago, and plus I haven't seen my dad for 15 years. All of this because of you guys. What'd you get out of it? You know, I want to kill you myself. You know, if he had held on to that bitterness, that anger, that resentment in his heart, that would have consumed him alive, he would have been no good to God, and then when he would have been in this situation, he would have been no good to himself, he would have stopped having all those dreams and all that stuff, and he would have been tormented by tormenting spirits because of just bitterness that he had held on to, creating an open door in his own life. But if he had done that, but rather what he had done is he had brought this to a place of reconciliation before the Lord, and he saw God's hand in all of the struggle that he had faced, including being sold out by his very own family. He even saw God's hand in that process and said, look, it wasn't you that did this to me. God sent me here ahead of you guys. So he even saw God's hand in that. And this is, you know, before you guys got here, we were talking about some about the world and the system of the world, and part of what it exists, and part of the reason why the system of the world exists is for man to have a healthy realization that man in and of himself cannot do it. Man cannot solve his problems. Man has no solution at all. Man cannot bail himself out from the weight of sin or any of his stupid decisions. It is only the salvation that comes from God. It's only the wisdom and knowledge that comes from his throne by which we have any hope while you're here in this world. So Joseph understood that. And so Joseph, when the tables are turned, he repays the evil done to him with kindness and with an understanding of also where the Father had the work of the Father and all of this. Now, Joseph didn't give them his throne that he had been given by Pharaoh. He didn't give them his responsibility, saying, oh, okay, now, you know, you guys are, hey, come on, you know, let's all gather grain together or do what. No, he kept his responsibility, kept his head about him in the middle of this whole situation. But he forgave and he was reconciled. He is a model for us to realize too, hey, you know what? The Spirit of God works inside of us. And God, as he continues to work inside of us, you can put a child of God into any situation in this world. And if we are in connection with the Spirit of God, hey, you're going to shine. You're going to shine. Classic example, you guys know about Tony. I mean, just somebody who put in a difficult situation, the Spirit of God that's on his life, bringing him to a place of realization and understanding, but then also in that whole process too, hey, God takes care of him and he makes the way for all that he's put in him to be brought forward, to have option, to do something. So, you know, for us, it's part of it is checking your heart. Check your heart now, because the famine here, he said, look, it's only happened for 2 years. And it's going to go on for another 5. Likewise, we have a realization. The people of God know the cycles and the times. We have an indication, even a quickening in our own spirit about where we are in God's time, God's economy, all of those things. And even right now, in the Spirit of God, you and I know that things are not going to get quickly better in the world. You know, tomorrow's not the day where all this stuff is going to just turn around. We're moving into a time right now where things are going to get more and more and more difficult for people. And many of the very same people that dissed you, that hurt you, that did all manner of stuff against you before will be the very same ones coming back to you for, at some times, really, for their own life. And when that happens, you and I need to make sure that this has been dealt with so that you use that opportunity as the Spirit of God enables you. Give them help. Speak life. Because also too, remember Scriptures talks about it as well. If your enemy is hungry, give him food. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing that, you're heaping hot coals upon his head. Plus God will reward you. That's the way to live. You know, that's the way that we live. So just live in forgiveness. Don't hold on to any of this stuff. And know that stuff will continue to turn around. I've seen it in my own life. I remember, I don't want to get too deep into some of these stories, but basically I remember, you know, when God first put me into, he kind of stirred it in my heart, just to leave everything that I knew and just to go and to go off on missions at that time. And I remember one guy in particular that kind of mocked that whole thing. And he was just kind of like, and he actually you know, like flashed some cash at me. He's like, oh, you need some cash? You know, then he put it back in his pocket. You know, it was like something like that. It was just, and I remember that thing, because it was just like, for me, it was too, I was, you know, kind of young in my walk as well, and I was just like, you know, I just, all I knew was that I just was trying to follow what I felt God was showing me at that time, which later on I learned a confidence in, like, yeah, this is what God's showing me, let me go with that. But it was several years after that where, you know, I came back and I was to the same place and I met the same guy, and he was in a situation where he needed financial help, and I had something, me having gone out and done all this stuff, coming back in a situation where I had something to help him, and the Spirit of God quickened me and said, you need to help this guy in the situation that he's in. And you know, and in that situation, I mean, I don't, nothing towards me, but in that situation,
you attempted to not.
No, I remembered the whole thing from before, but it was not about, you know, I mean, his brother in the Lord, he just was ignorant before, but you know, I could have held on to that one of a thousand ways, but in that situation for me, the realization too, like I did exactly what God told me to do in that thing, and it blessed him, it blessed me, and but it also just showed me something too. You know what? I have not lost anything by following God the way that He showed me to follow Him. I have not lost out on anything in this life, though the world told me I would. In the end, I've actually found what life really was by following Him and walking with Him in the way that He would show me to walk with Him, in spirit and in truth. Not my own little thing to, here, let me justify, you know, this life and this lifestyle that I want to have, but no, really saying, God, you show me, you direct me, I just want to walk with you. And in that process too, I've also seen how God will, has, and always will, He'll always stand up for you. He'll always fight for you. He will give the opportunity. He will flip the script time and time and time again. And those that curse you, you know, He will deal with them. Vengeance is mine, says the Lord. It's mine to repay. So it's God's thing to repay. So we don't have to go settle those scores. We don't have to. I do not have to settle the score with anybody. God Himself will fight for me. My thing is, Lord, what would you have for me to do this day? What would you have for me to walk out this day? You show me and I'll go with it. And you know what? It's really cool, because in that process too, you know, He will use you to be His ambassador. The very people that curse you, that hurt you, will be the very people that you intercede on behalf. So we'll go to our last one, which is John chapter John chapter 19. And let's see here. Okay, well, there's two things that I wanted to touch on, but one is, all right, the first one in a different account is when Jesus was praying for these guys and He said, look, forgive them, Father, for they know not what they do. You know, when that was happening with Him on the cross. The other one, what I wanted to touch on here was, because see, too, a lot of times what's happened, when people have done certain things to you, they didn't know what they were doing. They didn't know the damage that they were doing. They didn't know all the hurt and the harm and all of that they would do to you. Sometimes they did, but sometimes they had no concept. You know, they were just being worlders. They were just being slaves of the world, doing what the world does. And you know what? You know, forgive it. Let them go. Again, Jesus came that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Part of that abundant life comes in you and I letting it go, in you and I forgiving when we've been hurt. That's part of the abundant life, is to let go, is to be free. So forgive them because they didn't know what they were doing. And even the ones that knew what they were doing, they still don't know. Because it's just like they're, you don't get wisdom and knowledge and understanding until you have a proper connection with the Father. You might have some worldly wit in that system, but you don't have what you need. So the first one is forgive, let it go. Let the Father will deal with them. He will fight for you. He will deal with these people. That's His thing. But on your side, on my side, let it go in your heart. And that if you have something that you're holding on to, whatever it might be, it's not worth it. You know, because you're missing also, practically speaking, you're missing out on so much more the Father has for you to hold on to that one little thing, and it's really not worth it. For me, when certain things were let go of in my own heart, that for me was such a blessing, because at the end of it, it's like, because I saw in the scriptures, God said, look, forgive. If you don't forgive your brother, God's not going to forgive your sins. Okay. Or when somebody sins against you, all right. So and I said, Lord, you're going to have to help me to do this one, because in my flesh, I can't do this. But after that had happened, once that forgiveness had taken place, then the freedom that came in my own heart, incredible. So first one is, it's because part of it is the abundant life that God's calling us into. The second thing there too, in here, verse 28, after this, Jesus, knowing that all things were now accomplished, that the scriptures might be fulfilled, saith, I thirst. Now there was set a vessel full of vinegar, and they filled a sponge with vinegar and put it onto a hyssop and put it to his mouth. When Jesus therefore had received the vinegar, he said, it is finished. It is finished. And he bowed his head and gave up the ghost. Okay, Christ Jesus was the fulfillment of the law. Now the law in the Old Testament was eye for an eye, tooth for a tooth. That there had to be righteous, you know, recompense for what happened. But the thing about it is, with Christ Jesus, God made him the substitution, the propitiation for our sins. God made him that perfect sacrifice. And he took upon himself the full wrath of God. He that knew no sin became sin for us. So in the process of that whole thing happening, all of that happening, Jesus here, when he's on the cross, and the last thing that he says is, it is finished. It stops and it ends now with me, right here, right now. So for him, and in him, that whole thing was done there. So we don't need an eye for an eye anymore. There is no need for an eye for an eye anymore. Because now, for us, that cycle is broken. Because was it Gandhi that said, you know, an eye for an eye, you keep that up and the whole world goes blind? And I think Margaret Mead or somebody else did something else, but they said, eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth has a world full of blinded, teethless people. You know, but it's just like, and the thing about it is like, okay, the reason that, and here's again, you know, sometimes with people with their whole thing about scripture, the old covenant in that respect, it shows the need for justice, the need for recompense for iniquity, that need there. So we have to have a full understanding of that, so that now in Christ Jesus, you and I then have, we understand, wow, this the wages of sin is death, I can't pay this one. You can take all my teeth. I can't pay this one. And then the realization that you and I could not pay that one. And then the realization too that in Christ Jesus now, it is finished. So when now, and since it is finished, now it stops with him, including the cycle. See, that's the coolest thing there for me. There's so many things that are cool, but right now, at this moment, in the context of what we're talking about right now, the coolest thing for me in this context is that the whole thing stops there. You know, all the hurt, all the pain, all the bitterness, all the, you know, I'm going to get you back for what, it stops right there with him on the cross. All of it. It's finished right there. And the new life now comes in the resurrected life in Christ Jesus, because death and sin could not hold him. And there was a new life now. So now, how now do we live? In closing, in conclusion, we now live in the new life that we have in Christ Jesus. The old things are done and finished in Christ Jesus on the cross. And the new life now that we live is in that resurrected life of Christ Jesus. That's why, too, with baptism, it's just an external, visible, public declaration of the spiritual reality that all of us had when we came into Christ Jesus. So we make that declaration open and clear, because, hey, the life now that we live in the world is in Christ Jesus, and it's about him. So the old us is dead, and that's finished there too, and the new us is in Christ Jesus, now here, living in this world, but not of it, every day. And with that, we conclude.